The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 175. I'm your host, Tony Polanco. I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Now I know why you cry. The one thing I cannot do.
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, everybody?
And Adam Vale.
What's up, people?
Yeah, Manny, your impression threw me off because you said the line wrong.
I know.
Yeah, like, I know not why you cry, but it is something I cannot do.
It's a reference to the fact that I'm in blue palette right now.
Yeah, you're in James Cameron mode.
I'm in James Cameron palette now.
Yeah, we started off a little late because we're having some technical difficulties and an OBS update. You know how that shit goes,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, boy.
All right, so a couple things here. So we want to give a shout out. Oh, what's up?
If you go by any crime drama, Manny is clearly in New York right now.
Yes. Yeah, so quick shout out. We want to give a shout out to Riku Sun One and Nick Castro for being on episode 175 of Throwdown on Thursday. That was a lot of fun, you know?
Good stuff.
And also,
it's always good to have Riku on. And the new guy. Yeah. I totally forgot his name. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You could call him Muscle Mario.
Yeah, Muscle Mario.
I showed up halfway through the show. I didn't get to the introductions, but he was a cool fucking dude. Him back on.
Yeah, we'll have him on. And I think that's pretty okay. Chris will be back on Thursday. Everything's settled now with this moving. He's going to get his internet tomorrow, so he's good. I think he just moved like a mile up the road. Brian's doing British things. I had something I was going to say, but I'm like, well, that's going to get me in trouble. I'll not say that, you know. We'll come up with something more imaginative.
And are nerve gas?
You mean like something like he went out to Brexit?
No, it was a little
That was a dad joke, Manny.
He went out to Brexit. And Chris Bryan, and we have so many people on this show I can't even keep track anymore. And the other guy's doing some other thing. Where's Jeezy? All right.
And that one jackass decided to do something else.
Oh, man. All right. So what's up?
One thing before I wanted to thank the guys from the All Things Coheed podcast, which I did a interview, which will be showing up sometime next week about my book, Amory Wars, and the final two issues. So just keep an eye out for that one, too.
Nice. Hey, Manny, cool. It's been a minute since you've actually given us an update as to what you're doing on this show. So while we're on the subject, what have you been doing lately?
I mean, mostly just working on my book, Amory Wars, right here. And it's not, I just have that sitting there, of course.
Well, I think the last time we checked in with you, you were just finishing up a lot of the tech jacket stuff, weren't you?
Oh, no, that tech jacket's a long, that's a long, long time
ago. No, that was a while ago, that's what I'm saying. I haven't really heard much about this book on this show.
It's Amory Wars, which we're actually on issue, I'm working on issue 11, and this is issue 10 that just came out not long ago. It's working out pretty good. We got two more issues, and it's pretty insane. Takes me forever to paint, but it's all worth it, and it'll be great for all the fans. And it was really cool talking to a couple, to a lot of the fans, some of which I've met at some of the conventions I've done. And, sometimes you kind of need that little bit of a reminder of what's out there, because especially when you're working in these four walls, you know, your little art cave, you kind of lose a little perspective, I would say.
There's a world out there?
Yeah, there's a world. Sunlight, you know?
I know sunlight. It comes in my windows. That's the thing that comes in my windows, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the stuff that keeps the plant alive, right? So so it's that. That's pretty much what I was doing. I was talking to them about that and music and all kinds of fun stuff. So they're a baby podcast. They just got to like their 17th episode. So I told them how many we had because we just did our 175th episode, like last week, or where, you know, we have enough, you know, and this is the 175th episode of Throwdown, your questions. So they're like, wow, we could get in contact with you guys if there's anything. I'm like, you guys are doing it, you know. It's not that much to it.
Dude, I had something similar happen. I was telling somebody about the podcast from Planet Comic Con up here. Mm-hmm. And they're like, have you ever thought about doing a panel? I was like, what, on our podcast? I mean, that's, no, not really. And they're like, oh, you absolutely should. And I was like, nobody would be interested in that. And they're like, how long have you guys been doing a podcast? I was like, I don't know, like 6 years? No, like, yeah, you're really. Doing a like, podcast, podcast for 6 years. Some people might want to hear about that. And I had to sit back. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention that, because Manny and I have been talking about doing a panel for, you know, Throwdown, like for maybe 3 years ago or something like that. We've been thinking about this for a long time. Actually, probably since we were on SCFU and played, we've been thinking about it. But yeah, I don't think we could really justify that. We really don't have that many. I mean, we have a lot of fans, but not like super amount of fans. So I'm guessing if we ever did a panel, it'd just be like three like sweaty dudes in the fucking, you know.
How do you podcast?
But hey, it's something we definitely have been considering. So pretty interesting, but that idea never crossed your mind, because Manny, I've been thinking about that for fucking years now, you know?
Yeah. It's no, just, but I had the same reaction. I was like, our little show? And then they're like, yeah, your little show. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, big thing. They're like, yeah, I mean, if you've done like 6 years and, you know, like 400 podcasts, like, guys obviously know something about what you're doing. And I was like, we haven't managed to not crash and burn yet. That is true.
Yeah,
that is very true.
We'll say that for another time, because you're giving me ideas right now. You're giving me ideas right now. Okay, good ideas, by the way. Let's get into it, man. Questions, baby, questions. All right, so first up is G Megaforce 123. So he goes, does Nintendo still regret creating their worst enemy? Everyone knows the story. Nintendo and Sony made a deal. Sony was backstabbed. Sony was created and made Nintendo's life a living hell ever since then. In terms of consoles, definitely not handhelds. Do you guys think Nintendo still regrets that, or do they not care anymore? I wish Chris was here, because Chris is always telling us how even when he worked there, Nintendo's hatred for Sony was still very much alive. Like, you couldn't even bring a Sony TV into that shit. Like, Manny, you know, he probably told you the stories more in depth.
Yeah, like what they were saying, like they would never use any Sony products. Like, it was to that point. Like, also, like, the thing about Sony is that Sony also has a handle on the broadcast media and recording media. So they make DAT tapes. They make all those different things that you would need for production. So what happened was that essentially they're like, no, we're not using this. We're not using Sony TVs. We're not using anything Sony related. But I'm sure there were some things that just had to be like, oh, okay, we'll use this.
We have to.
Because it's only thing in town.
Yeah, the hatred is still very strong, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like Sony.
Nintendo has to almost admit to having fucked up for them to really be mad. So I think, like, it's this weird double thing. Like, they won't admit that it was a bad decision or that they fucked up, but they'll admit that they don't like Sony, but they won't really admit why. It's this weird, like, I've seen Nintendo express hostility towards Sony, but I've never seen them express regret at the decisions that they made that caused them to have beef with Sony, which is a really weird combination.
It's because they essentially caused it. You know, if you think about it, it would be Sony that'd be the one like, wait, we hate those guys. No, it's nearly Nintendo. Like, no, we don't want to deal with them. I'm like, you guys fucked them over.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's the hatred is there, man. By the way, Michael in the chat says he's like, now that I think about it, I do sound like Brett. Remember Riku? He was mistaken. Like, isn't that Brett? Why are you talking to Michael? It's like, why does Michael sound like Brett? It's like, dude, no. They don't sound alike, bro. What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, I don't really have anything to add to this. Nintendo does not like Sony, but they will never admit that shit. They will never admit that they fucked up.
Well, no. The first thing they did, remember when Sony was doing bad in PlayStation 3, they were talking about hubris.
Yeah.
Right? That they're saying, well, certain studios have a certain sort of hubris and all this other stuff. Like, we don't do that. Roll around to Mr. Wii U era / end of a Wii era. That was hubris right there.
Yeah, so. Nintendo's nothing but hubris. So that's why they won't admit they fucked up. Mm-hmm. You know?
They could have really had a monopoly, really, because it would have just been them and Sega as the main competitors.
Yep.
Yeah, and I wonder if Sega's kicking themselves, man, because Sega was almost going to do the same deal with Sony. Then they backed out. They were being stupid. Yeah. You know?
They could have done it too. They could have. They also tried to do a similar deal with Microsoft, also with them on their the Xbox console later on, and didn't do it. So,
and if you really think about it, everybody helped in creating Sony, the number one platform out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sega was going to try to team up with Sony back in. Oh yeah, no, it was early on with the Sony PlayStation. Well, they were going to do it too.
Because remember, after Nintendo, the whole thing when Nintendo fell through, Sega and Sony started talking, but Sega of Japan was like, no, we're going to do our own thing. You know,
we're doing our thing.
And oh my God, what's the name of the guy who created PlayStation?
Oh yeah, I forgot his name. Yeah.
So his whole deal was, he wanted PlayStation to be a completely 3D system, no 2D games. Sega wanted 2D games, and they just couldn't, hash that together,
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, there was that one point where they even wouldn't release 2D games on the console initially. Yeah. Like, the first round of stuff wasn't very many 2D things, with the exception of Mortal Kombat, because it's Mortal Kombat.
Ken Kutaragi. Thank you. Ken Kutaragi. Yeah, very adamant about this. Like, I don't want any 2D games. We want to be next gen, And obviously, Sega, for the Saturn, they wanted the ultimate 2D machine, right? Man, they fucked up. They created something too.
And then they added all that other stuff in later.
Yeah.
Which is like, and that is also what made the Sega Saturn so difficult to program. Because it's funny, we're talking about Sega Saturn. I actually watched a teardown of the Sega Saturn by Ben Heck, if you know that guy. He's the one who, he does all kinds of he makes handheld versions of classic consoles, and he does all kinds of cool teardowns. And he's like, yeah, I can definitely see why this thing was incredibly difficult, because it literally had a bunch of different processors in it, like in different locations. And then it literally, here's the crazy thing about Sega. Sega, as their sound chip, they would always use the last generation's processor as their music and sound chip. So the Sega Master System, from the Sega Master System to the Sega Genesis, right? The Sega Master System's processor was the sound chip inside of the Genesis. And then going into from the Sega Genesis to the Sega Saturn, the Sega Genesis processor was the sound chip inside of the thing. In fact, if they were able to figure it out, they could have actually played Sega Genesis games on that original on that Sega Saturn if they wanted to, because you could actually do that from a Sega Master System to Sega Genesis with a peripheral.
Yeah, that's crazy. And again, that's one of the other follies of the Saturn. That thing should have been able to play Genesis cartridges, but that's a story for another day. Let's move on to the next question here. Okay, do Japanese games have better music than Western ones? It seems like it. Like, I was going through memorable original soundtracks in my head, and for every 20 games I could think of, only one of them was from a Western game. Yeah, this is personal, obviously, but I've been saying that shit for fucking years, man. Like, because the thing is with Western games specifically, once we started getting, CDs and stuff, they created more atmospheric soundtracks, soundtracks that are more like movie soundtracks. Movie soundtracks are not meant to be really heard. They're meant to enhance the scenes and shit. That's what's going on with a lot of Western games. Not always, but for the most part.
Theme-based movie soundtracks can be listened to outside of the.
But if you're listening to multiple
Tony Hawks and multiple GTAs, though.
Yeah, those are different stories because they're using.
Those are Western games.
Will you motherfuckers let me finish?
No.
Shit. So basically those are different because those aren't using like original music. They're using outside music. So you're going to remember fucking pop music, but
it still counts as a soundtrack though.
It does, but it also doesn't. We're talking about original.
He's talking about original.
Yeah, we're talking about original soundtracks here. Like obviously GTA games have memorable soundtracks, but yeah, for the most part, when it comes to original shit, that's why last year, for example, I'm like, wow, I'm playing a lot of games that have great music, and they just so happen to be Japanese games. Western games, for the most part, have forgettable soundtracks. I'm not saying they're bad. They're just very, very forgettable. They're not very theme-like. Japanese games always have themes to them, memorable themes that repeat the same things over and over and over again. Western games, again, they're just trying to have a certain atmosphere about them, like movie soundtracks. So that's why they're not as memorable.
I have to disagree. I agree, but I disagree. I agree with the impact that they have. I would have to say my best moments when you're like gunning down a hallway and you're fucking kicking ass and you hit that sweet spot and you were just kicking ass, man. And that music swells, that the big triumphant moment, like that's really badass. And I don't see as many Japanese games having the music cued to the action. You said it yourself, Western games take points from movies where, you know, the soundtrack would kind of be this way for a while, and then as the action.
Remember any of that stuff? Like, can you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Can you thematically remember that song that was the badass swell that when you were running down that hallway?
Yeah, for example, let's say you wake up in the morning. Are you having that specific song running through your head? Do you have those songs stuck in your head so much that you need to go to YouTube and listen to them and then hum them as you go through your day? Do you have that happen to you with Western games? I sure as hell don't.
No, but I don't have that happen to me with Eastern games either.
Wow, that's interesting, man. Because yeah. I certainly do. I bought the Persona 5 soundtrack because I kept listening to this song so many times on YouTube. I'm like, Tony, just buy the fucking soundtrack already, bro. You know?
I mean, there are definitely memorable like main themes for characters for Western games. I do say that God of War is one of those games that has a very good the original.
Yeah, yeah.
God of War's had very really good thematic, music to it, and they always kind of came back to that same bit of that same little bit of tune that was the Kratos theme, you know. Da-na-na. You know, like you after you do all this, and then like, and then come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
all I have to say is Elder Scrolls theme, and everybody immediately gets the song in their head.
For the king, for the king. But the king is
good. Yeah, I'm glad you bring it up because that's one of them, you know, even though I never played the game, but I know that's one of them people like. The Portal songs people like.
Fallout, even the queue up song to Fallout, like you hear the first four notes of that and you're like, oh, I know what this
is. What is it?
I got another one, guys.
I honestly don't know.
Got another one.
What's that?
Halo.
Halo.
Yeah, Halo.
Halo always had a very good like main theme, that one thing. And then their little action music, piece that they was.
Yeah, but if you think about it, though, Halo was like an older game. Older games, even if they were Western, tended to have themes to them. Remember the old Tomb Raider games had themes, too? It's more, like I said, more modern-y games that don't really have themes anymore. They just enhance the action that's happening on screen and stuff. Like, Manny, I remember you were playing me, you were talking about the soundtracks for the Dark Knight movie and Batman Arkham Asylum. You're like, they're like, hey, they're very similar. And I'm like, I forgot both of them. Like, I don't know what any of them sound like.
It's always that, it's that very droning, like, that stuff.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, it really does go back to preference. But I know for me, like, Japanese themes seem to stick in my head more than Western ones, because the Western ones don't have a lot of themes, you know?
I was going to say Contra, but I forgot that's Japanese.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. A lot of Xbox guys forget that too.
Also, I mean, you can also say some of the Tommy Tallarico stuff from, like, especially from Aladdin, that wasn't the main themes. Those were actually pretty good too. Little jazz tunes that they put in there and stuff like that.
Yeah, and also, you know, let's give shout outs to things like Cuphead. That's a Western game. You remember those songs? Those songs are pretty memorable, but they're very themey songs. They're not made to be like cinematic, you know.
No,
I think in general, themey songs are easier to remember. Rayman, right? Western game. You remember those songs, you know, because they have a certain theme to them.
Yep. And I also feel like here's the other thing. I feel like what happens with Japanese games, they tend to go into different musical sections.
Yes.
So you can have a game like Persona, which essentially has fucking jazz in it.
Yeah.
The whole game of jazz. I don't know how, I mean, with the exception of Cuphead, there's not a lot that go in there. Some games go into, like, Cuphead is in ragtime, big band, and jazz, and early jazz music. Not a lot of Western games do that sort of stuff, you know, which is Cuphead, you know, is a Western game. But I mean, like a game like Gravity Rush, it kind of has a very French feel to it.
That's another one that has really good, a memorable soundtrack, you know?
And I don't feel like, I mean, but I also feel like it also has to do with the sort of game that they're kind of putting out there. A lot of Western games are very serious.
Yeah.
You know, they're really trying to be very down to earth, down like, duh, duh, duh. It's like this, you know, serious moment. Whereas opposed to a lot of Japanese games tend to take a lighter take on it. Gravity Rush and the other one, you know, and Persona, they're, as you know, they're pretty light game sort of games. And then you have games like Nier, which is also a pretty atmospheric game, but it also has a lot of recurring themes that are very memorable.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else?
No. He had mine. Halo.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da. All right. Let's move on here to my man Mebs, who shot me these questions on PSN, man. Mebs, another guy. He's been following us forever. Mm-hmm. All right. So his first question is, given the kind of game Monster Hunter World is, it's reasonable to assume something similar could have been released on PS3 or Xbox 360 last generation. Why wasn't there a Western release of a Monster Hunter game on those systems, and why did Capcom decide to release one now? Up until the recent Monster Hunter, it felt like Nintendo handheld, you know, had an exclusive on the franchise. So yeah, I never thought about it. You're right. You could have made a game similar to Monster Hunter World on those systems, on PS3 and Xbox.
Here's the problem.
You know why.
PlayStation 3. PlayStation, number one, they were not going to make that. At that point in time, they probably wouldn't have made that big of an investment into a Xbox game, which would probably not do well in Japan. And then PS3 being the Japanese console, which is incredibly difficult to develop for until they started using Unreal Engine and all kinds of other, you know, third-party engines. But PS3 was officially... You know, I feel like the difficulty of PS3 to program for was a big hurdle for a lot of Japanese companies at that point in time. That's part of the reason why, if you notice, a lot of Japanese companies decided not to even skip the PS3 or not to skip actually developing for PS3 and then hiring an external company to do a game for them, buying a Commando, you know, Dead Rising, a lot of those games.
Yeah. I mean, this is a conversation, you know, I had privately and stuff, because I was talking to you about how this generation has seen like a resurgence of Japanese games. And we both concluded that it's probably because the PS4 is easier to develop for. Now the Japanese are finding their stride again. Because remember, back in the day, PS3 era is the era where the Japanese really lost dominance of the generation. Even during PS2 era, most games that you played were Japanese games, right? But yeah, but going back to that, I think basically they had a good thing going with Monster Hunter on 3DS and, you know, Vita and shit like that. They were like, we're not going to fuck this up for a PS3. Fuck that.
And not to mention the how cheap it is to make that sort of game, if you think about it, because they're all just reusing assets and adding assets to old PS2 games. You know what I mean? It's all the same junk from the PS2, just, you know, reused, because it doesn't look, you know, when you have it on a small screen like that, it doesn't matter how it looks. You know, it doesn't need to be, you know, the textures don't need to be incredibly great. So yeah, that's what happened. And also, not to mention that Monster Hunter, you know, bringing Monster Hunter Portable actually did, you know, if you notice back in those days that PS3 era, right? What was getting all the attention out in Japan? It wasn't PS3. It was actually the PlayStation Vita. I mean, a PlayStation Portable. Sorry,
PlayStation Portable and the 3DS. So they're like,
the 3DS.
May as well just keep making these games on these systems. You know,
things that are very easy to develop for and don't need a lot of work. So essentially they're just cheap sequels that they could keep throwing out there. You know, maybe add one or two things to it. You know, little things here and there. This Monster Hunter World obviously needed some time to gestate. They needed to get everything back. You know, they essentially needed to create almost everything from scratch again.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they felt they could do it credibly now, you know, and without, you know, but, you know, they could do it without too much hassle now because of, you know, they already had the MT framework going on. The PS4 is easy to develop for. They're probably like, okay, now we can finally bring this shit over, you know, and because I'm pretty sure you guys wanted to do a next gen Monster Hunter for years. They just weren't able to, you know, with the technology available to them. So, I think that's pretty much it right there, you know. What do you guys say? Jump in if you want to.
I feel like it's always been there, just in different forms. There's so many other games where you just go and you start killing and stuff like that. But that was just hunting monsters. And I remember having it on the Vita also.
Yeah.
You know, it's been around. It's just, I don't know, it's just a niche audience type of thing.
Yeah, not anymore, obviously. Not anymore. But yeah, it was always very niche. Here's the funny thing about Monster Hunter. I looked into it, every Monster Hunter game released was always released in America eventually, you know? So it's not like, you know how there's games, franchises out there that, like, some of the games have never been released in America? Every Monster Hunter game has been released here in some, you know, form, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always been niche, but the Western audience has always been loyal, you know? And I think this is the game they were all waiting for, and everybody jumped in, you know?
Not only has the Western audience always been loyal, but Capcom has always, or that branch of Capcom has always been really loyal to their Western audiences. They know that they aren't going to sell, until this time, they aren't going to sell a metric fuck ton of copies, but they have a loyal and dedicated fan base that has helped keep it going and help keep it at least a brand here in the West. Maybe not as successful as it is in the East, but, you know, a brand here in the West. And they've always appreciated it. I think it's actually a really cool thing that fan service and that good grace that goes both ways, I think is actually what led them to the success that they have now. If Monster Hunter hadn't had the name recognition and the niche but rabid fan base that it had here, it wouldn't have exploded the way that it had.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. The groundwork was already laid. They just needed the proper game for it, and they finally released it, and success.
It was a smart... And I can't say this enough. It's a smart, benevolent way to do business. Everybody ended up happy. You ended up happy with shitloads of money. Your fans ended up happy because they always had the game that they wanted, and now they got the game that they really wanted. New fans are happy because they get introduced to a Monster Hunter title in a way that they feel is accessible to them. So you've grown your fan base, which makes you more money, which makes you happy. Like, can other businesses please just fucking take note of this? Capcom take note of other Capcom, please?
It's insane, man. Again, this is Capcom's highest selling game ever now. It's nuts, man. But yeah.
It's like, hey Capcom, you see what happens when you actually just decide to, you don't need to gouge everybody with fucking DLC, and you need to, put out unfinished games to get through fucking tournaments. How about you just put out a good game and then just keep, adding to it instead of fucking, killing everybody with fucking DLCs and shit.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. You know? All right, let's move on.
Whatever happened to putting out a good game?
Wait a minute, Manny. Are you saying you can't lie to people and shove out a good product and, embargo reviews until you can get a number of pre-sales to help offset your costs and then run like a bandit over the horizon? You said that's not good business tactics?
Oh, yeah. It's totally not good. Totally good business practices, isn't it? You're totally down with it.
Crazy. Oh yeah, I love.
We could just put out the same game and add super to the title, or turbo to the bottom,
or hyper,
or ultra. We could go on. All right, man.
Or
so
if it's the 90s extreme.
All right, so the next question here is: a couple of weeks back, there was more footage of Shenmue 3 shown. As someone who has never played the previous games, how essential would it be for newcomers to the franchise to play the previous games? Also,
extremely.
Yes, that's the first part of it. Let's answer that part first. Yes, the second one. Yes, you need to play the other games. There's no way around it.
I would say necessary.
Yeah.
Unless they could somehow figure out how to give you a crash course as to what happened in the previous game.
Dude, they did that in the beginning of Shenmue 2, and it didn't have nearly the gravity of actually playing the first game. It felt like watching a season recap of a soap opera.
Exactly. You almost need a well produced. In order to do that, you probably need some sort of well produced little bit in the beginning of the game. It's going to be a difficult one, which I kind of believe they're going to do something a little extra with that.
Remake. Remake.
They should, because I think played that game like a long ass. I don't even know what the hell happened.
I don't even know what happened in Shenmue 2, to be honest.
Yeah, like I know there's a guy, his dad was killed, and then he drives forklifts.
Drive a forklift. Buy a bobble and take bobbles out of the machine.
Yeah, pretty much. What's going on, Brian?
I've had a cat.
The answer is yes, you need to play the other games. Here's the second part of the question, and this lets me know he has not played these games at all. This is like the clincher. He goes, did the saves from Shenmue 1 carry over to Shenmue 2 in similar to the way Mass Effect did it? No, because correct me if I'm wrong here, Mass Effect was the first series, big series, that actually did something like that.
Dragon's Age. Dragon Age did.
Dragon Age and Mass Effect, didn't they come out close to each other?
I think
they did. They did a prototype where they took the actions of your last game and they had consequence in the second game, but you didn't play the same character, and that laid the groundwork for them to actually be able to make a fully fledged lead into a second game with Mass Effect.
Yeah, Mass Effect was a little bit better though, because remember Dragon Age 2, we had a different character and all that other shit. Mass Effect was still playing Shepard.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it came first. So I'm pretty sure it was Dragon Age, Mass Effect, Dragon Age 2, Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, correct us if we're wrong here.
It's the other way around.
Yeah, okay,
Mass Effect 2 came before Dragon Age 2.
But either way, it was like, was it Shenmue came out in 1999, Mass Effect came out 2007. In all that time, no game has ever done that. Mass Effect was the first one to do that, so Shenmue definitely didn't do anything like that. And there were no real stats to carry over from Shenmue 1 to 2. It wasn't that type of game, you know?
No, essentially, the way they did it was like you kept all the moves from the previous game, stuff like that.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it remembered. It just kept it,
didn't.
You know?
It didn't.
Things didn't work like that back then. Back then, if you had a sequel, it would just pick up the story where the other one left off. There was no cross-save like that until Mass Effect came around, you know?
Which would be a really nice feature to add if they ever did do a remake of the two other Shenmue games.
Yeah. All right, so that answers that.
I miss Mass Effect.
Yeah, the real Mass Effect. Real Mass Effect.
That's a who?
Yeah. By the way, Joel Torres. Joel Torres left us a question in the comments of last episode. Dude, we're recording now, man. So get in here now, bro, because you know you already missed that deadline, you know? All right, so moving on here to Mr. Black Metal Gamer. So his first one is, this one's pretty much for Brett. what are some games you want ported to Switch? Brett, you go first, because my answer is I don't want any game. Any game that I want ported to Switch, I could already play on something else, you know? So Switch ports are useless for me. Brett, different story. So, Brett, you could talk now. Unless you...
I had to switch headphones, so I think you can hear me now, right?
Yeah, you guys sound good too, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway.
No homo. Go ahead, brother.
I would probably like, and this is already happening, I like the best of the of Steam being ported over. I'm actually seeing some weird news about where a lot of indie games are having trouble thriving on Steam, but even though they're getting good reviews, and they're generally doing what you would consider well, but they're not moving enough copies. And then strangely enough, they're moving enough copies to actually, I've heard at least in one case, to save the studio, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's what's going on with the one that did, Fruit Ninja, and they did the other one, Jetpack Joyride, they canceled all their games, and now they're just focusing on trying to port those two over to Switch to see if they can make some money, because if not, they're about to shut down.
So we might be in for a load of shovelware, but I'd also like to see I'd like to see Don't Starve brought over. I think that'd be fun. Honestly, I don't know at this point. They're putting Dark Souls on the Switch, so I honestly genuinely don't know. I'm excited about the.
So Brett, you wouldn't want like Monster Hunter on Switch, Monster Hunter World on Switch.
I mean, come on, let's be realistic. Monster Hunter World isn't going to run on the Switch.
Yeah,
I'm taking into account what the Switch is. It's not going to run a fully fledged, you know, top of the line AAA title. Never is going to. If you want a large scale game, you're going to have to make compromises like you did in Breath of the Wild or certain graphical things. So there's a lot of games right now that are really big. Like, yeah, I know in some weird impossible world. Yeah. Fucking Red Dead 2 on the Switch. Oh, yay. That shit ain't going to happen. What we're going to see is the best of previous generations, remasters, ports, indie games, things like that. And I think that's what you should see. My biggest thing right now is, you know, I don't have to really take through a lot of the Steam indie games anymore. I can just sit back and kind of watch what comes to Switch, because the cream is rising to the, you know, rising to the top on that one for the most part. And Indy, go ahead.
Oh no, sorry. Go ahead. I was going to
drill the top. Wasteland.
I was going to say this because I was thinking about this the other day, because usually, and I've said this before, it's always a good idea for, you know, if you want to buy an indie game, it's always a good idea to wait for them to come to consoles because they've weeded out the chaff. But if you think about it, if you wait for the Switch version, you're really weeding out like the bullshit because it's been filtered twice through Steam and through PS4 or Xbox. So you're really getting the best of the best on Switch now, you know?
I'm going to decide on the low hanging fruit and hopefully they can port trophies or achievements.
Yes. That's
number one. Because, I mean, for me, like, I always envisioned when they announced the Switch, I always envisioned it as like the successor to my PS Vita, right? And, but the unfortunate thing is it doesn't have any trophies or achievements or anything similar to that kind of stuff. So, like, when I see all these third parties like games, like indie games and stuff, I'm like, well, why do I want to play them on the Switch? I'd rather just play them on something else that'll track everything. So if I don't have that option, then I guess I would go with something I know for a fact is gonna show up on the Switch eventually, probably next year, is Mario Maker.
Yeah, I guess my real answer, instead of being an asshole, get cool games that I wanted to play on Wii U but never could because I didn't have a Wii U. Like, was it there's a fucking Mario game that came out,
Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah, I want that shit. That would be fucking dope.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Donkey Kong Country, but they already got that coming. I also said I wanted Captain Toad. They got that coming. So yeah, yep. I think the main big one is the Mario game 3D World. That would be fucking awesome. And you know what? Why not go back to the Wii? Bring the Mario Galaxy games over. You know.
Yeah, or the new Super Mario Brothers, the 2D stuff.
Yeah, those are good. I had those. I have one of them on 3DS. That was a really good one. They could bring that over. So yeah, I would like pretty much the first party games from Wii U to be brought over. Third party stuff, you don't need to bring that shit over. I'll just play them on PS4. You know, get my trophies. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on that Switch ports?
Yeah, Left 4 Dead. If you're gonna go that far back, bring Left 4 Dead 2. That'll be just fun.
They could probably run it on Switch, to be honest. That game never, looked that good anyway, you know?
It's an older game, too.
Yeah. All right, man. Moving on here. The Xbox One and the Wii U had two of the dumbest names for consoles. Which of those names caused more bad luck and stigma for the console? All right, stick with that one.
Wii U.
I don't think there's even a question for that. Wii U. You know,
everything. People would have, if all that silliness didn't happen with Microsoft in their initial introduction, where they just came out, this is the best gaming console you could ever think of. They came out there without all the different bullshit that they had. The Xbox would have never had any sort of issues. Wii U, on the other hand, there's total and utter brand confusion there.
People thought it was an add-on to the Wii.
Exactly. They used the same instead, and they didn't even do like a Super Nintendo where they added like an extra moniker to it. This is just Wii U. It's like you know what I mean. Like the U is not enough to differentiate the two things. It just sounds like it's an add-on. Now, if you called it the Super Wii or Ultra Wii or whatever, that is a bit of a difference. It's like, okay, it's the next thing up.
They did that also with the 3DS. Remember, it was the new 3DS. So yeah. What? Yeah, I want the new 3DS. Like, no, the new one? Or just the new? Because people were buying the other one and saying, it doesn't look right.
Yeah. There's just that sort of, there's not enough brand confusion. There's too much brand confusion. The other part of it is also their own marketing of the damn marketing strategy of it.
Yeah, because think about it like this. Even though people were like, Xbox One, that's a dumb name. If you know, because think about this, people called the old Xbox One Xbox One, but that's just a name people came up with. That was not the official name of that thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it was only just to differentiate. It was never an official name. It was just to differentiate it from the 360.
Yeah, that's it. But people were like, "Oh, this is a stupid name," but nobody would give a shit. You knew what it was. You knew it was the follow up to the 360. When it came to the Wii U, people were like, it's just a Wii add-on, right? It's just a controller for the Wii, right? That's what people thought it was.
And not to mention the fact that they never actually showed the console, and their new console, and when they did show the console, it looked very similar to the last one.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of confusion there. So definitely that system's name fucked it over, you know? And then the second part of the question is, what names did you have chosen for these systems instead?
Xbox probably would have, it wouldn't have mattered if it wouldn't have changed. I would have left it Xbox One, or we would have called it Xbox 720.
You know,
that would have been nice. So, but then again, it's like 720. Is that like a? What about 1080?
Yeah, that's also true. And Manny, you kind of already answered the question. You know, Ultra Wii or whatever.
Ultra whatever you wanted. If you wanted to keep the Wii thing because of brand recognition, we could just you could add something to the Wii. You know, like something that'd build that main differentiation, and then also a redesign that made sense, as well as not just showing the goddamn controller. And that was the biggest confusion over the damn thing.
Yeah.
They could have just called it Wii 2.
They could have called it Wii 2. Would have been even better. Like like just like how PlayStation is like, they're not renaming the damn things. They're just calling them PlayStation 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, you know?
Because the branding is so popular.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I mean, like Manny mentioned, they obviously try to recapture the magic of the first Wii, the original Wii. That's why they named it Wii U, but their foresight wasn't smart enough to foresee that Wii U doesn't really separate it from the original one. In terms of the way it's called, so yeah, I'll probably use Wii 2, just so they could use the same kind of ploy to keep that name. And Xbox, I don't really like Xbox One.
Can we just agree that was the dumbest name?
It wasn't the dumbest name.
No, Wii U was a dumber name.
No, it is the dumbest name because when you abbreviate it, it just says Xbone.
Well, they didn't think about that one.
Yeah.
I know, and that is exactly why it's the dumbest name ever.
I mean, it's funny.
It is hilarious, and that is, again, exactly why it's the dumbest name ever. Like, I'm not trying to be like, you know, it's like they called it the Microsoft Hitler or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, okay, did you guys there's a thrift shop up the street from me, right? They're named City Union Mission Thrift Store. They decided to go with their initials. Dumbest name ever, because now it's the Cum Thrift Shop.
By the way,
well, they all come with some. What is it? I remember Star Trek Discovery when you abbreviate it as SCD.
Oh, you shit.
You have TNG for Star Trek Next Generation.
But most people aren't going to abbreviate anyway, so you know, I don't know if that counts. Wii U people just sounds stupid.
TNG,
you
know?
Xbox abbreviates.
Do they? They just go Xbox, you know, or the one. You only say Xbone if you're being derogatory towards it, you know?
I'm not even saying, it's just when it's written out like XB1, there are people don't put the space there. It's just XB1 all word. And then they put the X on the other side, and now it just looks like a rad 13-year-old's extreme gamer tag, Xbone X.
I disagree with a lot of people that mentioned that they wouldn't have called it Xbox 720 because it kind of would maybe confuse people about the resolution.
The resolution.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that was the Xbox thing. 1080 then. There you go.
Xbox or they could have just called it Xbox 2.
Yeah. Xbox 2. It's like, what? You will go from 360 to 2?
Like you're crazy. Know,
or if it was Windows 10, they just call it Xbox 10.
You know, I think it would be cool. Like they just go with just Xbox Scorpio, and then just start naming them after the astrological signs, one after the other, the zodiac signs.
Yeah, that's fine.
In order of precession, that would have been pretty cool.
Well, then what if it got the Xbox Cancer?
Touché, sir.
You'll just skip that one.
Yeah, I think you would.
They always
use, or like either that or you use – what is it? So astrological are Greek or Roman? They're Greek, right?
I think you're thinking of the Pantheons. I think they're the same on both, but maybe I'm just wrong.
So there's no – there's not like the Roman or Greek version, you know, opposite of Cancer? You know?
I don't think so. Like, well, it's Cancer the crab, so maybe you just do a crabby name, like a crab kind of name.
Crustaceous.
Yeah. Or like Scorpio?
Scorpio. It's a sea scorpion. I don't know. All right, man, let's move on. This question's getting stupid now. Okay, Apex. He actually asked us two questions, but I merged them into one because they're kind of the same.
Let the powers combine.
You know? Okay, he goes, a few of you attend E3 this each year, me and Manny and Chris. How do you feel about Microsoft showing stuff off in the theater across the street of the convention center instead of the actual show floor? That's the first part. Yeah, it makes sense to me. They're at the Microsoft Center.
We've been saying that for years. It's like, wait, you are where, and you literally have a building right across the street from E3, and you're not using it?
Yeah.
Nintendo's there?
Can you use the same credential to get into both?
If you're press, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, if you pay, because now it's general admission, if you pay for one admission, do you get into both the Microsoft convention and?
Here's the thing. They haven't fully explained exactly what it is, but I think the Xbox convention-ish thing is really going to be open to the public.
Yeah, it's probably going to be like EA's thing, right?
It's going to be like
You buy your ticket, you go in. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's just going to be like it's open, you can go in, you know, which means it's probably going to get mobbed up to the high shit. You know,
yeah, it's going to have all the show floor stuff this time. It's not just going to be because originally I thought it was just going to be for the presentation. No, all their games are going to be there. They're just going to have a mixer shit on the actual convention center, you know, which is interesting. But yeah, like we said, you know, to us, it doesn't matter. We just cross the street. It's the same shit, you know. Yeah. No real big deal there. And then the second part of the question is, does this feel like it will make it easier to attend a press conference compared to previous years? It's the same.
It's about the same. Yeah.
The thing is only a mile off, you know, so, it doesn't really matter. Because here's the thing, Microsoft conferences, even when in the old ones, did not take place during the actual proper E3, right?
No, it was always the Monday before the show floor.
Yeah, opened. This is Sunday before. So for us traveling, no, it doesn't really, it's only a mile. It doesn't really change anything, you know?
Mm-hmm. The only time it actually changes anything is if we are actually closer to that area where E3 is happening.
Yeah, because we don't need to be at LA Live. Yeah, but we don't need to be at LA Live that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, we are going to be there obviously because now Microsoft is happening there, but we don't actually need to be at LA Live on Sunday.
Yeah.
Or Mondays back in the day. You don't need to be there Monday. You need to be LA Live on Tuesday through Thursday, and they never have conventions during those times. So that doesn't really change anything for us,
like,
to be honest.
Like Reggie mentioned in the chat, general admission doesn't include pressers.
Yeah,
we were discussing that last night, too.
Yeah, we were, yeah.
It doesn't include the pressers. So, you know, if you buy any of those tickets for the
$250. It's the cheapest.
$250 press, you know, thing. You don't get to go to the Microsoft press event. But here's the thing. Since Microsoft is having their thing inside of the same building, which means you'll probably be able to go in there later. You know, go in there later to see, you know, to play any of the games. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe I'm sure they're probably going to have some sort of events in the show, you know, in the presentation area, you know, with the actual theater part of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to sell you tickets to those shit. You know, to that ship, they're gonna sell tickets for that, just like EA did. You know, all right. By the way, I remember last year, Kid Smoove, right? You all know Kid Smoove. He was pissed off that he bought tickets to E3 and couldn't go to any of the conferences. But I know BG helped him out to get in there eventually. But yeah, if you buy tickets to E3, I think they're like $250 a pop. You are not allowed to go to the press conferences. You're only allowed to go on the show floor itself. Just keep that in mind. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people thought they were going to just have all out access.
And it doesn't exactly mean that you will have access to some of the studios that decide to have their stuff off premises.
Yeah.
So guys, right. Like the one that has the barbecue and all that stuff across the street.
Oh, Devolver Digital.
Devolver Digital. A lot of people tried to get into the Devolver Digital booth. They could not because they are only doing press people.
Yeah, that show was funny. Remember that one guy, can you let me in? And they're like, no, you press. Like, yeah, but I have a badge. It's like, yeah, but you're not press. My man was looking sad as a motherfucker.
If you didn't have a press badge, you couldn't get into the Devolver Digital section.
Yeah.
So if you don't live in Los Angeles and you want to go to E3, you got to think about that. $250 just for the admission, you have to pay for like lodging and fucking a plane or whatever. And you get you have to wait in line for hours for a limited amount of games.
Yeah,
it's like a good sell for them, but
it's not the. I mean, like last year, that looked like they were some of the booths were trying to placate to the fans that they knew that were going to be on the show floor, you know, putting little booths and you know giving away sort of stuff in there. But yeah, it was definitely a clusterfuck, especially if you were somebody who was media just trying to get around. Like Tony, like I officially, I was with.
Yeah, I was actually fine because they actually did a smart thing. all the meat. Okay, like, just say if I had a Capcom appointment, right? The Capcom actually had a specific booth for press, so like I didn't have to deal with a lot of people. As long as I made it there, the only thing is getting to the places was a little bit of an annoyance because there's just so many people there. But once I actually get there, I didn't have to wait online. I got taken to the press part of, you know, whatever a booth it was. But just getting there is a little bit annoying. But the thing is, I live in New York. I've been to Comic Con. It wasn't that much of a big deal, you know.
No, it wasn't.
It was just okay. It was more than we needed to deal with at E3 previously, but it's not anything that I haven't dealt with in the past, you know. So it, you know, whatever. It's all right. But yeah, as far as our E3, Microsoft, that doesn't change anything for us. Mm-hmm. It just means probably more Smashburger for us because it's right across the street from Smashburger now, you know. All right. Moving on here, Mr. Damian. So his question is, which do you think was more impressive technologically at the time of the Super Nintendo, Star Fox or Donkey Kong Country? And remember, this question is, what did you think? Not objectively, because we kind of know the answer to this.
Yeah, and at the time, too.
At the time, yeah.
At the time?
Yeah, I'll go first. For me, I thought Donkey Kong Country looked more impressive. Like, I understand, like, again, Star Fox is objectively the answer here because it had 3D. Like, you needed a whole different cart to play that shit, you know? Yeah. Donkey Kong is still using the same shit every other Super Nintendo game did. It just looked really cool, you know? So as a kid, I'm like, that's way better looking, you know? But I know objectively, like, yeah, Star Fox is the more impressive game because of the technology going on in there, you know? Donkey Kong didn't really use any new technology.
I would have to go with Donkey Kong as well. I mean, it just seemed like, you know, we've seen that sort of, you know, polygon-ish sort of graphics set in, like, arcade games. And I also didn't, at the time, I really didn't like how slow the game seemed.
Yeah.
So I'll go with Donkey Kong Country as well.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Donkey
guys.
Donkey Kong for me as well. It's the more, like, explicitly beautiful game. Especially when you're a kid, that's like you don't really understand how games work. So something like Star Fox is just like a nice playing game, but it doesn't look pretty. So yeah, Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
But obviously, Star Fox is a more impressive game when you look at it, you know, with the 2020 and shit, hindsight.
Brian, are you applicable to answer this question? Because were you even alive at that point?
I was, but I wasn't playing games.
How are you doing tonight, Brian?
I'm doing good.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, Brian was getting trained to be a Royal Guard.
All right, Brett, back in the day, which of those two games did you think was more impressive looking?
Probably Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, and Adam.
Yeah, Donkey Kong. I didn't like that whole Star Fox. I didn't see the big deal. I was like, all right, I see the shapes. I see what's going on here. Nope, don't like it. Donkey Kong Country offered more, but we were used to that, you know, that platforming. So
yeah, but the thing is with Donkey Kong, like to us, it's like, oh shit, that's CG in the game. You know, that's what it looked like back then. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Star Fox is like weird blocks and shit. You
it's
know?
Triangles.
Yeah,
it didn't do it for me.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. All right, next up, Mr. All Day Digital. So his first question is. He goes, I don't understand the comparison between Rise and God of War. Like, it's a camera angle, nothing more. Not really a question, but I guess he wants to know our thoughts on the whole. By the way, fanboys went stupid. I'm glad I kind of stayed off Twitter this weekend. They went stupid because basically God of War footage got leaked and shit. And then all the Xbox fanboys started saying, oh, they're just ripping off a Rise. They're just ripping off a Rise.
And you're answering the question by that.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's fucking stupid. This whole thing is just a fanboy fucking flame bait shit. It's people saying, oh, like Xbox are like, we got them. We got them.
It's always that we got them. We got them. Here's my thing, right? Xbox guys hype the fuck out of Rise, right? So if God of War is trying to be like Rise, isn't that a good thing? You know, according to their logic. According to their logic. It's so stupid. I liked Rise because I liked Roman shit, even though
I wanted to.
I liked Rise. Rise was cool, but guys, what do you know, again, super fanboy shit. I kind of don't even want to dignify this with a real answer. So dumb, you know? These guys are always just taking pot shots at each other, man. Aldea, I wish you would have asked us a real, I mean, not that the question is bad, I wish you would have asked us what we thought about one of the directors of Shadow of Sea of Thieves being on Crab Gamers podcast. I feel that's horrible being on that podcast. It's a bad representation for the Xbox community. You know, you're going to go on there with that fucking racist, man? Not good,
beggars,
man.
Beggars can't be choosers, man.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, that's a bad look. Just saying, man, that's a bad look. But, you know, these guys don't see that, though. They're just like, oh, they're hyping up Xbox. They're hyping up Xbox. I'll be on their podcast, you know. He didn't, you know, do his research to find out that, you know, the guys on the show are fucking crazy assholes, you know. But what are you going to do? Yeah, the whole God of War Rise thing is just retarded. And the next question, which is a fun one. Okay, name a sidekick character in a video game that should have replaced the main protagonist. Not a lot of sidekicks in video games, but I know they exist. Like maybe Luigi should have been replaced by, you know, should have replaced Mario. I don't know. What do you guys say? Get in here.
Sidekicks, eh?
Sidekicks are replaced.
Like, which video game sidekick do you think should have replaced the main guy?
I mean, some would say, and I don't believe this, but some would say that that Raven should have probably replaced Cat in Gravity Rush.
Okay. Yo, man, what about Tails versus Sonic?
Nah. I like Sonic. He had his own game, didn't he? Yeah. Didn't he get his own game?
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess they sort of thought that. And it's like, ah, oh, what if we just gave his own game?
Tails was just too busy dying. Tails is the Kenny of fucking, like, Kenny from South Park of the Sonic games.
He keeps dying and coming back.
Yep.
But yeah, there's not a lot of memorable sidekick characters in video games.
One that comes to mind is that chick from BioShock Infinite. Elizabeth. But the game wouldn't work without Blake DeWitt. So it's like, yeah. You can't really replace him.
Ooh, what about... never mind. I was going to say, would Ellie replace... Oh, that did happen. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. You know? Sully replacing Nathan Drake. I don't know.
His old ass.
I mean, it would be kind of cool to have a Sully game.
Yeah, man.
Because we already got
Nathan, how game. You doing? All
right. Brett, any ideas? He's playing Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, that's a tough one because there's not a lot of sidekicks in games.
I noticed that there's ones. A lot of villain characters that people like tend to like more than the protagonist.
Well, I like the Tails collection.
Tails, you think he should overtake Sonic? Well, he did have his own game, though.
I don't think he should overtake Sonic. I just liked him more as a sidekick because he could fly and was immortal.
Yeah, that's true. He was very handy.
But if you gave him his own game, then Sonic would become immortal. It's a great conundrum.
I was gonna say, give the portal gun its own game.
That's funny, man.
I'd actually like to play a game as GLaDOS, setting up and experimenting on people. It could be kind of a puzzle game, like a Lemmings type thing. Like, that could actually be kind of fun and hilarious.
Yeah, that's true.
Yo, Toadie, what if they make a spin-off of Final Fantasy 15, just the cooking simulator?
So would the cup of noodles be the sidekick character?
No, the dude, I was going to spoil the game. The cook dude.
Yeah.
Dude with the glasses.
Oh, yeah. But cooking, yeah, I mean, yeah, do a game with him.
How does he cook later on in the game, though?
Don't spoil it, man.
Spoil what? Man, that game is old.
No, it isn't. I just came out last week on PC.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah. I don't think I'm exaggerating. I think it legit came out last week on PC.
They did some really good stuff with that game. It looks very pretty on PC.
Yeah, so it's been reset, Manny. Now we can no longer spoil the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sergio got it right. Ignis.
Yeah. Ignis, there you go. All right, man. Moving on here. Fatal Mephisto. What is everyone's favorite obscure game?
Obscure game?
Yeah, we've had a variation of this question
before.
I never really played a game that people have never heard. I mean, like, maybe Demon's Sword, but I wouldn't call that a favorite, you know?
I wouldn't consider it, like, I liked the game called Hurdy Gurdy for PlayStation 2. I wouldn't say it was a great game, but I did like it a lot.
So yeah. I understood the obscure game to mean differently from when you guys are going. So, like, when I heard, like, what's your favorite obscure game, I feel like... it's asking like game that's just fucking weird.
I thought it was like what's
a game that no one's ever heard of that you like?
Yeah, that's what I thought of it as. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because if he was asking for weird games, he would have said weird game, you know? So I don't really have that. Every game I've played, people I've heard of, you know, unless you're like too young or something. But the older guys would know what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't really have those. I don't really play weird, obscure games or nothing, you know?
And yeah.
I'm kind of looking at Brian because I know he plays a lot of obscure stuff.
I think he had me confused with Riku-san.
Mm. He has you beat. He has you beat.
Yeah.
I guess on that aspect, I guess Eidolon Kagura, you could say that's an obscure game, but I think that's about it, really.
Yeah, I'll count that. What about you, Brett?
Sorry, I was petting my dog's belly. What was the question?
What's your favorite obscure game, you know, that you've played that people may not have heard of?
God damn it, that's a hard one. Circle back to me.
All right, Adam.
I don't know.
My name is Mio.
No, that's not obscure.
People... Himdall?
No.
Okay, I got mine.
All right.
Just skip. I don't know.
If Adam needs time.
I need time.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Singularity. Nobody played it. Amazing game.
All right, there you go.
I didn't really buy you that much time at all, did I?
No, I'm trying to think of something. Because most of the games, I mean, I would consider obscure just because I didn't really hear many people talk about, but it wasn't like the Warriors. I love the Warriors.
That's not considered an obscure.
Someone mentioned Catherine.
I wouldn't consider that obscure. People know Catherine. That game's getting remastered too, so that's definitely not obscure.
Like, I've played a lot of games that are not super popular, but I mean, like, for example, Terraria or Trine 2. Like, I've played those games, but I don't know if those are obscure games.
No, those aren't really obscure.
No. I feel like it would have to be an indie game, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
But the thing is that most of these supposedly obscure games eventually made mainstream, like Shovel Knight and stuff like that. It was like, oh, it's not obscure anymore. But at the time, that shit was out forever. You know, and then it just started picking up.
Yeah. By the way, this is one of those moments where we feel the loss of Kristen. She can't be around to moderate YouTube. Some guys going in there crazy. Carlos, you know what to do, man.
Okay.
Yeah, again, I play shit people have heard of. Tactics Ogre, Hussein says, that's a good one. But I think people have heard of Tactics Ogre, you know, for the most part. Because it inspired Final Fantasy. Tactics, you know.
How about Ogre Battle?
Yeah. Okay, hey, let's sneak this one in here, Mephisto. This will be your second question. What are your favorite hidden gems for the PlayStation 1?
PlayStation 1 hidden gems.
I didn't really play on PlayStation 1, so I'm going to step out of this one.
He never had
I was a Sega Saturn guy. I hated PlayStation back then. I was a fanboy.
Ape Escape? Is that a hidden gem?
No, really. Everybody knows Ape Escape.
Mine's is Loaded. I don't think a lot of people knew about Loaded.
No, that one's a pretty popular one too. That's like saying Twisted Metal is a hidden gem.
Yeah.
What? No.
That was made by Sony, that game.
Yeah, but no one played it. Every time I talk about it, no one remembers it.
They made two of them. So, I mean, it's kind of known. Because
if you get a sequel, people know you, yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't have made two if people weren't playing it.
I don't know that.
Azure Dreams,
yes, I would say that.
Yeah, that counts.
That is a hidden treasure there because not a lot of people played it, and it was but it did get a little love in Metal Gear because it's one of the games that that Psycho Mantis mentions when you have the save data on your console.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
He's like, I see you like Azure Dreams.
Yeah. Hussein, I wouldn't count Rival Schools. Everybody knows that game.
No, Rival Schools. Oh, that was a popular game. Hidden gem.
Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
And that works for me.
I can't name that many
Jesus
games.
Jesus Christ.
For me.
I'm on the fence about one.
Which one?
Road Rash, because it was big.
No, everybody knew it. Everybody
I don't know if the PlayStation one was big, though, was it?
No, but Road Rash is big, though. Man.
Road Rash was, but by the time PlayStation came around, everybody seems to have forgotten about it.
No, it was the same Road Rash that was on
the only people that forgot about it was EA.
I would say I would here's a game that I would say is a bit of a hidden treasure, and it was for both Sega for the 3DO and the PlayStation, which was Return Fire. Return Fire, nobody remembers that anymore. Great game.
Yeah, some guys are naming some games here. Colony Wars, Jade Cocoon. Never heard of these names.
Jade Cocoon. Now that sounds like something I haven't even heard of in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the thing games. I think some of them I wouldn't say Bloody Roar was one.
Nah.
That one had like three sequels. Yeah, it's a bit of a difficult one. What else we got there on the chat?
People know Vagrant Story, bro.
Oh yeah, Vagrant Story. Come on,
that was huge, huge. That was pretty big. You know, I had to time somebody out. People are going rowdy on fire. They tell you, Chris ain't here, son. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. And where the fuck are we right now? Oh shit, we're on our last question. Okay.
Look at that.
This is from our boy Sergio Jada, who we actually gave. He won Final Fantasy X. X112. He won Final Fantasy 12 for episode 200, man, or 100, nice. Whatever the fuck it was. What the hell did you win it for? Was it episode 100 or 1,000 followers? I think it was for 1,000 followers, one of them. Anyway, so he has a question, and you're kind of putting me on the spot with this one, bro, because I can't officially talk about this game until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I got to be very careful here. But you guys can answer it too. What is your take on Ni No Kuni supposedly coming in at 30 hours for such an anticipated JRPG?
That's fine.
I'm going to recluse myself from this. I can't answer because I'm going to get myself in trouble. So
you guys can answer. To be honest, it's like, okay, 30 hours, that's not bad. But I mean, I feel like it's the way the game is set up is that it's kind of meant to be absorbed by people who aren't really going to go totally into these things. You know what I mean?
You can say this is a casual fucking game. This is baby's first RPG. So I would say that anybody who's comfortable being talked to like this is really going to like this game.
I don't think it's like
I can say this. Brett is completely wrong. This is not baby's first RPG. Hold on a second. I just remembered. I can talk about at least the first five chapters. Never mind. I'm going to answer this fucking question. This game is fucking... it's deceptively deep. Like, there has so many layers to it. Like, you're going to find a lot of shit to do in it. So, those 30 hours...
I thought it was simplified.
No, it's not, dude. No, it isn't. For example, you could actually set up parameters, like, to make you... like, stronger against specific enemies. But obviously, like, let's say you make yourself... You know, you make... jelly enemies hard to fight. That means when you have to fight harder and, you know, like solid enemies, you have to change the parameters again. So you're constantly micromanaging that shit. Then there's the RTS stuff, the building shit. There's a lot of shit in there. It's way more complicated than the first, Ni No Kuni. So yeah,
I think they probably just took down they turned off the turn-based portion of the game.
Yeah, there's no turn-based. It's all real time. So you also have to manage that too. And even during actual real-time battles, you have to manage like not only shit you're doing, positioning for monsters and stuff, but you also can use these little creatures to aid you too. So you have to, you know, use them at the correct time, position yourself correctly, because if you just like Monster Hunter, if you hit a monster the right way, you could actually knock that shit down. You know, very deep game, way deeper than the other one. Definitely not baby's first RPG is Pokemon. You know, this is not Pokemon. This is some real shit. So the 30 hours, let's just be honest, these guys rushed through the shit. I'm at 17 hours right now, and I'm maybe two-thirds of the way through it, because, you know, it is a shorter RPG, I'll give it that, but that's actually a good thing nowadays. You don't want to be spending a million hours playing a fucking game, you know?
Yeah, because you hated Persona.
No, I love Persona, but even when I got to, like, hour 60, the game was, like, took me $100. I'm like, I love Persona. I'm like, can we get to the end, please? Shit. You know? The only game that's been able to break that lately is Monster Hunter, but usually, after 6 hours, I'm like, come on, let's fucking go already. You know? So, yeah, 30 hours, even if it's just 30 hours, which you could definitely get more out of it. There's side missions. You gotta build up your armies and all this other shit. Plenty of time. It's just 30 hours if you just barrel through it. The only reason I got 17 hours is because I've been barreling through it, you know, and now I'm gonna actually take my sweet time with it, you know. But yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the game was 30 hours. That is perfectly fine. That is actually more than enough time, you know. So yeah, that's not an issue at all. Go ahead, guys. What do you say?
I don't have any problems with that length.
Nope.
Yeah, it's like some RPGs are 90 hours. Some RPGs should be 30 hours. It's like, I don't know. Sometimes when we play RPGs, like, they're kind of a drag because you can't play anything else because you have to play for 90, 100 hours, and sometimes you just want to move on.
Yeah, the guys in the chat are pretty much saying 30 hours is fine, too. And remember, Sergio, because you say you're interested, you don't need to play the first Ni No Kuni in order to understand. It has absolutely no connections to the first one. So you could just jump right into it if you want. But yeah, it's definitely a more complicated game. The first one was pretty standard fare. This one, they threw a bunch of shit in there, you know? My only gripe is, and I can't talk about this, they don't have all those cutscenes anymore. The animated shit, because Studio Ghibli's not involved, which annoys me, but it still has that feel to it, you know?
I'm just mad that they changed things.
Yeah, because you wanted the little Pokemon guys.
Look, I just wanted it to be an expansion of the first game, and they changed a lot of stuff to not fit my taste, and the way that I'm viewing that, and I know that this is wrong, the way that it's currently coming across to me is that they changed the game for more mass audience appeal.
Nah, they made this game, like, more hardcore, I would say, because there's three different games in this thing. There's the RPG, there's the RTS, there's the Sim shit, you know, the Sim City thing. So you kind of getting three games in one.
Yeah, but that wasn't what Ni No Kuni 1 was. Yeah, none of those three things are what Ni No Kuni 1 was.
It was an RPG. I understand where you're coming from, though, but for the sake of the story, those RTS things and sim building things are necessary. And this is coming from a guy who does not like those genres, you know. But it serves the story, so I don't have a problem with it, you know. But yeah, 30 hours, it's perfectly fine. More JRPG should be 30 fucking hours. Let's just be honest. Shit, that's the whole show right there. So a couple of things here. Manny, once again, please plug stuff.
Yes. So coming in a few weeks or maybe next week is my interview with the fine folks at All Things Coheed. They're fans of the Coheed and Cambria book I currently work on called Amory Wars, which you can see right here, which is issue 10. 11 will be out soon. And yeah, we're just being talking about that stuff and all kinds of other fun little geeky stuff. If you're interested, check that out.
Nice. Let me look at the comments real quick. Whatever happened to those Mario books? I don't know. Oh, shit. The ones I was supposed to send you.
Yo, you still haven't sent those things yet?
Yeah, I got to send them out, man. I did send my man his final Dissidia thing, though. But yeah, I'll send you those books out, man. I keep forgetting about them, even though they're taking up space. This is why I shouldn't be the guy to give out things. It should be, man. He's good with that. I slack, you know? what did you guys think about the Leaf God of War gameplay? Oh, shit. We could talk about that, can't we? Yeah, man, this shit is fuck. I can't wait. That got me hyped, man. Son. Ooh.
It went from like one of my most anticipated games to probably the most anticipated game. At least the first half.
Yeah, Red man, Dead it's crazy. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because the thing is, even though I was still hyped up for it, there was still that question: like, is this game actually going to be good? Are those changes going to, you know, work for the game? Yeah, just based off that footage, fuck yeah, it does. Oh, my motherfucking God. And just like I suspected, when you get into combat, the camera pulls back so you can actually see what the fuck is going on, you know?
It looks like in general the game has been, the camera angle has kind of been pulled back a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Sony pulled those fucking videos down, by the way, because it was supposed to debut tomorrow, you know? But somebody leaked it yesterday, 2 days ago, I believe. Yeah, man, I'm fucking hyped. Brian, what did you get to see the video before they pulled it? Mr. Manjoma. Okay, he doesn't want to answer.
I chose not to see it.
Yeah, Brian's so upset.
I chose not to comment.
Well, Brian, you know, he doesn't like where New God of War is going, so maybe that's why he doesn't want to answer.
I don't want to answer a question I've already answered.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. I've seen the video. Still not overly sold on the game exactly. It feels like it's a different direction when they should have just not even done anything with the game. Because I feel like no one really asked for a God of War sequel. Everyone was just happy with where it was. So I'm just apprehensive. Because I feel like either the OG fans are not going to buy this game and it's not going to sell well, and hence there won't be any more God of War games in the pipeline, or the people that will buy it, they won't really talk about it as enthusiastically or play it as well as they did in the past, and hence it just fall off. So I'm just very apprehensive. It feels like another SOCOM confrontation to me, where it's just you change it from what the fans liked, and fans may not be flocking back. But time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see, because the PlayStation guys obviously are hyped up. And as a guy who's been playing God of War since the first one, I'm glad they changed it, because that shit had already worn its course, man. You know, it needed a change, so I have no problem with that. We'll see. The game could fail, too, you know?
From the PlayStation community, there's not that much negativity on this game.
No, they're not. They're all hyped as shit. The only guys talking shit are obviously the Xbox guys. All the PlayStation guys are fucking going nuts for this.
I'm talking shit. I own the platinum in all 1, 2, and 3. So,
yeah, but I wouldn't really consider you like a PlayStation guy. You know,
no, I'm a fan of the franchise.
Whoa. That's not a diss. That's not a diss. That's the truth.
Tony, watch what you're saying.
You can't say that I'm not a fan of the franchise.
Oh, like, no, you definitely are. I wouldn't call you a Sony fan, but I will definitely call you a God of War fan. Now, hence why I wanted you.
Wait.
Yeah.
Of course the Sony fans are hyped for this.
I gotta stop this.
Like, Sony fans have hyped off any game that's exclusive on PlayStation.
Not Life of Black Tiger.
No one's hyped off that.
Fucking Tony had that shit in the fucking...
You already know, son. You already know.
That's not even a PlayStation exclusive, as that's on mobile platforms as well.
Brian? No Man's Sky?
No Man's Sky, yeah.
People were hyped about that. Like,
they were super
hyped. They shitted on it. But they shit on it when they found out, like, it was all a ruse, man.
By the way, Sar is great saying that Bina Kratos is a Greek Spartan legend. I wish they'd allow him to wear the trademark red cape, Spartan helmet with a short sword and long spear like movie 300. He did have that stuff in some of the PSP games.
The first one.
Yeah. Like, some of the power-ups looked like that, you know? Like, you had your helmet and your spear and stuff.
You mean the Rage of Olympus?
Yeah, they had that shit. But remember, he's in Norse lands now. No more of that Spartan stuff.
Where did you get that axe, Kratos? I just found it somewhere.
Hey, Brian, Hussein says that he thinks that this game's going to be he's the resonance to you. This game's going to be the best-selling God of War game ever. Whoa, bold statement there, my friend.
Okay, we'll see.
It depends on the story. If it's story-heavy, we know people like stories.
Yeah.
And they will jump in for the story. So if it is heavy on the story, like they're advertising, then I could see that happening.
So God of War...
Hold on. Can I just address that, like, very quickly?
Well, yeah, it's addressed to you, so please address.
Just because the game sells well, it doesn't make it good. No Man's Sky sold a lot. Are you going to say that that's a good game?
But he's not saying the game's good. He's saying the game's going to be the best-selling. That's a totally different thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean shit. Like, a game can sell well, but it doesn't make it good. Games, they sell, like, millions every year. But is anyone actually going to sit there and say that, yeah, these games are good?
Adam will say those games are good.
But you mentioned that the fan base might not have been looking forward to it.
That means people like it.
Yeah, Brian, you did specifically say the fan base is not going to look forward to it. The fan base is very much looking forward to it, you know? You're like the only kind of outsider in this.
Oh, I highly doubt that. I'm sure that there's other people out there.
Well, yeah, there's always a couple of negative Nancys around.
Yeah, you know?
I'm not saying you are. Nancy. I'm just saying
cautious. Like, look... I'm sorry that I grew up with lots of franchises who all did something very well, and then when they changed it, they went to shit. Like, it's not my fault that has happened. Like, I'm just being the only one that's like, let's just wait until the thing comes out, and then we can judge it, rather than just being like, oh shit, it's the God of War game, let's hype it up.
No, yeah, you're more... pessimistic about stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Brian's, Brian's English. You know, they have to be.
I'm right there with you, Brian.
Yeah, and Brett is Brett. Go ahead.
Oh, by the way, so,
nobody's surprised, nor do they have an excuse for me.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. I have you notice that everybody's jumping onto Brian, which I have also said at the same time. I'm not sure about this game, and nobody's coming down on me on this one.
Yeah, but
you're just a negative Nancy, Manny.
No, I mean, I'm like, I'm just not. I'm just like, all right, we'll see what it is. And that's
man, you say that about every game, though.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see what it is.
So you're not being negative about it.
You know what? Because you know what? Getting overly excited automatically sets you up for failure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, not with video games. I mean, if it turns out to be shit, then it's shit. I mean, the enjoyment doesn't change whether you were hyped about it or not.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Oh,
you know?
Well, the disappointment is even deeper. And then you start complaining on Twitter, this game is so fucking...
Actually, I'm looking at it from the opposite way. I'm a firm believer, Manny, that in all things, not just video games, that you have to be the optimist. Because if you're the optimist, then even when you're disappointed, there's the next thing. You're like, oh, man, this next thing is going to be fucking great, which means that you're constantly living the life of a golden laugh.
Here's the thing. I'm not thinking of it in an optimistic or in a pessimistic way. I'm thinking of it. It comes out and I'll see what it is by then. I'm not, you know, like I'm not. There's no fever pitch here. It's just like we're flatlined and then there'll be a blip up or down when it actually comes out.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes
sense.
That's
the way Manny lives his entire life, just so you know.
But, I mean,
which is fine, you know.
Committal. I'm just nervous about this because it has all the hallmarks of a desperate game.
How's that? Because here's the thing, because I'm seeing a better version of Hellblade, and you like that game, you know?
You're seeing what you want to see.
But can't you say you're seeing, you can't just say it before you say it, aren't you doing the same thing too?
No, I'm reacting with caution to a to a system of events that has happened repeatedly.
Okay.
There's not that much. I mean, there is info about the new God of War, but there's not that much info that we can be excited. You can look at it and fill in the blanks with the things you see. But here's the thing that concerns me is this feels a lot like, you know, not even the Order kind of thing. Like, this is a franchise that has been worn out. It's taken a hiatus. It's now being brought back. We're not really being told much about the story. We're being shot at a lot of fancy cinematics. Sony is banking on this thing super hard.
Oh, how shit. So the tables have turned. Yeah, it's three of you guys now.
By the way, Brett, I just want you to remember what you said. You were saying the same things before. Then when you started actually going through what the game has, you actually got excited for it.
I'm hesitantly excited, but I'm also at that there's that hesitant part, like the part that makes me nervous. Like, I'm not letting myself get hyped because this is the kind of game where a lot of times they'll be hyping it up big, and even if it's a bad game.
What if they announced it for the Switch?
Wouldn't matter to me.
Oh man, yeah.
Play a God of War game in like 12 hours. What the fuck do you need it to be portable for?
Hey man, the PSP games are the best games in the whole series.
Yeah, that is true.
You don't need them to be portable. They're such a short game that you can play them in your spare time while you're at home. It's
by the way,
take it on the train with you.
I'm gonna make a bold prediction here.
Uh oh.
I'm not gonna say this game. Oh, what's up?
A disturbance in the force.
I sense a disturbance in the force. So I'm gonna predict something.
Now, by the way, before you make your prediction, Hussein brings a good point. He goes, Brett, if Sony was really desperate with this game, they would have made it a multiplayer open world game. Yeah, I agree with that.
you know that you want to know what the
Sony's actually
did they do that shit with the Order?
No, they didn't.
And the Order was a huge flop. They were riding like a son of a bitch.
But it wasn't desperate though.
It was not desperate at all.
You want to know what desperate was? God of War Ascension.
That was desperate. Yeah, because that attacked on multiplayer.
Maybe desperate is the wrong word. They are beating the band to promote this thing. And when I see this kind of behavior, this kind of flagship game where they show nothing but a lot of cinematics, but they're very sparse in the details of the game, that generally doesn't bode well.
I think they just don't want to give the story because it's so heavy on the story.
Exactly. And this is God of War. They're going to promote it. They're not going to be like, oh, yeah, God of War game. Buy it if you want to. Maybe not. They're not going to be timid about it.
You've seen a lot of gameplay then?
Yeah. They just leaked 9 fucking minutes. They're about to release it tomorrow, dude. What are you talking about? You know? They showed pure gameplay. That's why me and Carlos are even more excited now because we've seen the actual gameplay of this
shit. Okay, well, I'm sorry I haven't seen the gameplay that they're releasing tomorrow.
Yeah. Because they leaked it. You didn't look at the leak, man. The Reddit guys didn't keep you up to date, bro.
Neither did you.
Yeah.
Actually, he did post it.
Yeah, he did post it. But, you know, Brett doesn't go it on Twitter.
I don't do that Twitter shit, yo. Is it the beginning of the game? Or no,
it's somewhere in the middle of the game. It's somewhere like in the middle of the game. And
okay.
Yeah.
So have we debunked the Dad of War, the Sun thing?
Oh, we don't want to. No,
we don't know that. That's just Adam's theory right now. Yeah. This is Adam's theory. But the kid does help you in battle, though, which is really cool.
Yeah. And he's the puzzle solving of Vector.
Okay, so we were starting to get some clear idea of how the mechanics actually work on the game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because that was the shit that was making me nervous. I was like, I'm seeing a whole lot of flash, a whole lot of promotion, a whole lot of CGI, not a lot of actual meat and bones gameplay here, guys, and that always makes me nervous. So
yeah, well, tomorrow get ready, because they're going to release a shit ton of that stuff.
Okay, Well, then I will reserve my full critique. Yeah,
again, Brett, this is why me and Carlos are rehyped, because before I was already on board because of God of War, but now this thing made me go, oh my God, this kind of alleviates some of my fears I had about this game. Yeah, same, you know,
because I was looking more forward to Spider-Man, and because we've seen more of Spider-Man than God of War before I watched that video, but now that we watched God of War, I'm like, yep. This looks great.
So I'm right where you are before you watch the video. So I wonder how much of this is actually differing opinions and how much of this is who's seen the new leak and who hasn't. Am I the only one who hasn't?
I haven't.
Well, Adam, you don't really care about God of War, do you?
What? I'm the one that's been hyping this.
Okay, I thought you didn't care because it's not Call of Duty.
I just don't want to see footage. I don't want no spoilers.
Yeah, and as far as the story goes, I'm not going to say now, but they actually did already tell you what the story of the game is and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. He kills gods?
No, it's not that. It's why Kratos went to the Norse lands and what's going on with his son, you know, his son's powers and shit like that. It there's more to it than just, hey, Kratos is killing a different pantheon now, you know?
Oh, I can tell you why. Because Sony needs some more money.
Yeah.
And the horse has just died. So, yeah, keep eating it.
Oh, that's every game that comes out.
That's every game, though. You can say that about every game.
Warframe?
No, but as like they're beating the franchise. It's like, oh shit, the franchise has just died, but you know what? There's still a couple of good more whacks left in it. So
to make
a game like the popular game these days, like The Last of Us, Bullseye. Let's go.
Hey Brian, I definitely agree, but what I'll give them credit for is they're reinventing themselves.
Yes, exactly. They're not just doing the same old shit. If they're putting out the same old God of War, that shit would have been dead on arrival, you know?
Yep. You think so?
Oh yeah, easily.
Yeah. And let's go to my bold prediction now.
Uh-oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, go ahead.
And if anybody wants to make any bets, I'll more than gladly take some of those.
Man. Throw down your bets.
Throw down your bet. So God of War 1 sold 4.45 million. God of War 2, 4.07 million. God of War 3, 4.81 million. We don't even need to look at Ascension, because that shit probably sold like ass cheeks. I predict that God of War for PS4 is going to outsell all three of them.
Shit.
Not combined, but it'll do at least 5.
Carlos, I can't bet against you on this one. I actually agree with you.
This is like,
think about it like this. Horizon Zero Dawn sold almost 8 million, right? 7.6 million new IP. This is God of War.
Yep.
Shit, I think this is going to... Oh, okay, so what do you predict now? This is going crazy. Based off of that, if the game is good, I'm going to predict 8 million.
Oh, yeah, if the game is good, yeah.
Yeah, launch, obviously. No, this isn't an other Zinc prediction. 8 million in the first year, which is from, April 20th to next April 20th.
I think so, too.
All right, so, okay.
They already did the one sign that will make this sell like freaking crazy is that they're getting all these bundles.
Apex says you're a secret booker. Yo, man. Yeah, they're getting... Oh, yeah, this game's going to sell like fucking crazy.
If it's good.
It could be. If it's trash, if it's The Order, then forget about it. Even though The Order sold like 5 million.
The Order also did sell very well.
The Order sold 5 million. That's true. But think about it. Even if this sells 5 million, it would have outsold the other games. Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You know what, Carlos? That's not a bold prediction. That's not really a bold prediction. I think this game could easily do 8 million in the first year if it's good.
It's a simmering prediction.
Yeah. Chad Main says 12 million EC. I don't know about that.
Oh,
bro.
No, I don't know.
That's Call of Duty numbers right there, bro. That ain't happening.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Well,
yeah, how much did Uncharted 4 sell? Interest.
Which one?
What happened, Brian?
Uncharted 4. How much did that sell?
Oh, man. Uncharted 4 was crazy. I'll look it up.
Yeah, wasn't it like 8 million last time I checked? Where are you checking it, though? VG charts? People don't like that place.
Well, yeah, but it's reliable after a number of time, like yeah, after a year or so, that then it's they can't fuck it up.
Yeah, that's
but if
true.
It's like,
yeah, I remember Uncharted 4 selling more than I expected it to, because I kind of believed Uncharted 4 was going to be not a bomb, but I didn't think it was going to do well, but it did very, very well.
All right, here we go.
PlayStation fans, yeah, go, 9.95. God damn!
Because
what? That's after like almost 2 years now.
Yeah,
just under 2 years.
Yeah, it came out 2016, like in the summer, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, Uncharted 4 got bundled. Like, every bundle you bought for PlayStation had Uncharted. Like, all the Slims. So that's what crazy. Made it so, like, the sales go over the top.
Yeah, it was bundled like crazy. And you know, this fall, they're probably going to have a bunch of God of War bundles, too.
Yeah, because they don't have, I don't know, maybe Spider-Man would hurt it, but other than that, is there like a flagship PlayStation branded game coming out?
Not really.
That's as flagship as fucking God of War.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. That game's gonna sell like crazy.
Like I told you, I have buddies on Xbox that are getting a PS4 just for this game.
Yeah, it's gonna be a system seller for sure. You know, it's gonna be a system seller.
Even people throwing backhanded compliments at. Like, Xbox people throwing backhanded compliments at God of War are praising it because they're saying it looks like Rise and they like Rise.
Idiots.
But Rise sucked. Rise looked amazing. It just didn't play like we all thought it was going to play.
What did you think it was going to play? Because it played better than I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was going to play like a God of War. I thought it was going to be more in-depth. Remember the way they zoomed in? It was like, form up! And then everybody would do the shield and then march and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is going to be badass. But then it just became very basic.
See, I wanted to, you know... I'm guess because I listened to the ponies too much. I thought the whole game was going to be like a Telltale game, just with better graphics. No, so I'm like, no. Oh shit, I could actually control this guy. You know, like, this is good. You know, I thought it was just going to be a Telltale game. You just press the button and shit, and that's it.
Not on my end. That's not what I was expecting.
Yeah. By the way, Hussein says Spider-Man is going to sell 15 million. I don't know about that, bro.
I don't think a PlayStation game has sold. No. At least one of them has sold 15 million.
Here's a good question. And we're just kind of filling up time because we're done with the show. What is the best-selling PlayStation first-party IP of this generation? I don't know that.
I think it's Uncharted.
It has to be just based on those numbers, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, what are the other big franchises now, the first-party franchises?
I know Horizon sold 7.6 million, right? So that's getting up there.
Because the Japanese games don't sell as well. Much.
I know the Last of Us Remastered actually sold really, really well. But I'm still pretty sure, as far as games overall, I'm pretty sure the best-selling title on PlayStation is probably Grand Theft Auto, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's... Man.
Parties.
By the way, did we get an MPD this week?
No, it's coming on Tuesday, weirdly enough. Not on a Thursday, on a Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
God of War 3 will be PS4's best-selling game 2018
maybe.
You mean 2018? 2019 ain't going to be it, bro.
Did you say God of War 3?
No, God of War.
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for the show, man. So let me throw up the little schedule here. I almost forgot to do that last time. So thank you for watching and listening. So leave us a question in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or over on The Coalition. We'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I'm yours, Tony Polanco. Tonight's joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. And also make sure to know that next episode of Throwdown, me and Tony will not be on the show.
Yes, one of these guys are going to host it. Who?
We don't know.
Oh, it's going to be fun. All right, Carlos Romero.
Later, guys.
Brian Manjoma.
Old predictions were made. Whether or not they'll come true, we'll find out.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, people.
and Brett Murdoch.
Seriously, guys, that is a dramatic effect we actually don't know.
Yes. All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
Deuces, guys.
Peace.